We are continuing. We're continuing on the series of Kindle afresh the gift that is in you, and moving towards our revival services at 9/11 and following. So hear God's word, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. That's for the reading of God's holy and inspired word. As we continue looking at the theme of renewal and refreshment, spiritual refreshment in our lives, last week we looked at that familiar verse, I know whom I've believed, and I'm confident that he'll keep me. And we talked about confidence and assurance that we have. One of the ways that our lagging zeal for Christ can be stirred up is to have a fresh assurance and confidence in who he is and what he's done for us. And today we're looking at another verse that is also very familiar. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman. And so the key idea today is not assurance that's there, but we're adding to that work. And you say, well, wait, work? Well, what does work have to do with refreshment? What does work have to do with renewal? What does work have to do with kindling brightly that flame of love for Jesus in our hearts? Well, I want to show you from this passage that we've read, something of how work is one of the things that God has given us to stir us up to activity and to service and to brighten our zeal of love for him. Yes, work can be tiresome and toilsome. Yes, there is that side. There is such a thing as burnout. But the basic idea of work comes from creation, from Genesis chapter 1. It doesn't talk about golf in chapter 1. It doesn't talk about sports in chapter 1. It talks about work and marriage and loving God. Work is fundamental. Now, you know, Paul is writing to Timothy. Paul is in prison. Paul is about to be martyred for the faith, and he's writing to this young man whom he had mentored and was part of the ministry team. He's writing to him to just encourage him. And the verse that we're focusing on is saying that be diligent to present yourself as approved to God as a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed handling properly the word of truth. And I don't want you to be depressed, but I'm going to give you five characteristics of what it means to be a diligent workman. First of all, the diligent workman relies on grace. Verse 1. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We talk about work. The first thing we have to talk about is that it's not based on works. Your position before God is not based on what you do or how you do it. Your position before God is based on his grace. Everything we do flows from his grace. If we try to do anything in our own strength, it will fail. I was going to say, if we try to do the dishes in our own strength, we will fail. If we try to mow the lawn in our own strength, we will fail. If we try to do our job, if we try to be a friend to people, whatever we do, if it doesn't flow from grace, it's not going to amount to anything. I hate to say that. But God has called us. He has graced us. He has gifted us. That's what he says, stir up the gift. The gift is not one gift, but the gift of Christ, the gift of knowing he loves us. It impacts everything we do. It empowers everything we do, God's grace. I love that part of the hymn, all we can do is nothing worth unless God blesses the deed. So we get from his grace, we get motivation, empowerment, opportunity. It all comes from God. Everything falls under this. Be strong in grace. Be strong in the love of God. That is what gives us confidence. We know that the little kids going to school, you know that some of the little kids are coming from homes where they are loved. And that really helps when they go to school to know they come from places. But just imagine the kids, and see, so many of y'all are teachers, and you know that there are kids that are going from homes that are chaos. And there are little kids going to school with the insecurity of not knowing that they're loved, not being secured, in some cases not knowing where meals come from, and maybe homes that are a mess. There's just something about a solid home that gives a child that security. You, who love Jesus, have the grace of God, a workman, a grace workman, filled and empowered by grace. Number one. Number two. The diligent, verse two. The diligent workman entrust the mission to others. In other words, the diligent workman is not one who tries to do it all himself. The diligent workman is one who realizes that if God has given me a task, God has given me a mission, he has given me the mission, it's not my own personal private mission, but he has called us to serve him. He's called us to serve him, and this is corporately. It's not just about ourselves. Now, the children's sermon, I use the children's message, because we do understand in life that parents teach their children, then children will teach their children. We understand this generational connection and the responsibility that parents have towards children. We understand that. And school is actually part of that parental, well, that might be my opinion, that's part of that parental responsibility. It's not to be turned over to the state. It's the parents. The parents' job, their responsibility, it's basic. I was looking at one of those nature shows last night, and just showing a mother otter taking care of her baby and carrying it on her back, floating in the water and finding food for it and everything. It's the parent's job to train up the young. And so he says, and he's talking to Timothy as a pastor, he says, entrust this gospel to faithful men. And I think we can really understand the generic here. He's, whatever God has given us, he's given us to pass it on to others. It's not just for us ourselves to enjoy and to say, well, this is good. I love this. God and I, or God and me, we say. No, he's given us his love corporately to pass it on, to entrust it to others. I think sometimes we in the church tend to lose sight of the fact that we are called to participate in mission. We understand about getting saved and getting in the church and growing in maturity and giving our money, good thing, tithe and showing up. Yes, it's good, but so much of it is in, and we lose sight of the fact that we are all called on mission. We're all called to be part of this process of taking the Word of God and passing it on to the next generation. They might be an older generation, but passing it on to the next generation to carry it on. I mentioned this with the men's group this morning, but talking with a retired pastor that we all know who is still working pretty hard. He says, you know, the tendency is for pastors to start doing more and more of the jobs in the church. And I remember one of my pastorates, Bahedu, I did everything except take up the offering. Well, I probably would do that if nobody else did it. I mean, just so what happens is, and then you leave and nobody does anything. And so it's really important to understand that we are a family, we're a team, and we have responsibility to share the work and to entrust it. And thinking about how we entrust it to our children, I don't remember a time when our parents sat us down and said, "Now we're walking with Jesus, now we're going to expect you to take it." I don't know if they said it in so many words, but they sure did it every day and every week while we were growing up, modeling for us what it means to be a follower of Christ. And they didn't expect us to go into full-time Christian service. In fact, sometimes I think they kind of hope we wouldn't. They just wanted us to serve Jesus. They wanted us to teach our children to serve Jesus. And I think to me it stands out, my father's last words to us as family, but through the eldest, because the only one who was there at that time, and he said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding." It was almost like he was officially saying, "You next generation, I'm leaving. You've got it. Trust in the Lord." This will stir up your heart. This will stir up the zeal to know that we're called on mission. I think sometimes we get depressed and discouraged, and we lose sight of the fact we're on a mission. We're not just parked here. We're moving forward. Okay. One, the diligent workman relies on grace. Two, the diligent workman entrusts the mission, is involved in the mission of entrusting it to others. Third, this is probably the most difficult one. The diligent workman expends effort in serving God. You say, "Well, my spirit is down. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed." No, you want to be lifted up. You want the fire to burn brighter. Get to work. Oops. That's not very popular. Well, he gives three examples. There's the soldier. The soldier. What is this about the soldier? The soldier doesn't get involved with other things. Why? The soldier focuses on the mission. The soldier focuses on, I've got to obey orders, the orders that I've been given, I've got a task to do, and I can't just do all these other things, but I have to be focused and move forward in the mission. Then he gives a second example, the athlete, probably easier for everybody to relate to in some ways, the athlete, but it's funny, he says the athlete competes according to the rules. It doesn't say the athlete, it's just all about winning, but it's winning according to the rules. So, what athlete who succeeds and is a successful athlete just kind of sits there waiting for it to happen? So he's saying to those who propose and want to be athletes, get up and start training. Work. You work hard. Athletes work hard. Sometimes, I don't know, maybe we work the kids too hard. I see Julius is back there, and you know, I think some of what the kids are having to do with these athletes, it's hard work. It's not easy. Work. Then he says the hardworking farmer. Now we know something about farmers from this community, at least traditionally we know something about the farmer, but it's interesting. He says the hardworking farmer, and then he says he ought to be the first. And I kind of look at that and I think, well, wait a second. That means he ought to be. Does that mean he is the first to benefit? Sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I wonder if the hardworking farmer, the guy who produces at the earlier stages in this economy and everything, it's later on, it's further up the chain that there's really more profit. Sometimes the hardworking farmer, the one who does the hardest physical labor, the one who has the highest risk, sometimes is not the one who gets all the benefit, and yet he works. He works hard. The common denominator in these three examples is it involves drive, effort, passion, obedience. Remember, we're talking about kindling the flame? A brighter walk in love for Christ? It has to do with effort. He says, remember Jesus. Keep coming back. Remember Jesus, risen from the dead. Remember Jesus. That's what drives us. That's what keeps us going. I think diligence is more than due diligence. I was trying to think about doing due diligence. Is that a positive term or a negative term? Think about it a little bit. You know, it means you're doing what needs to be done, kind of the minimum that needs to be done, or you're going the second mile. It has both of those ideas. But I think for a lot of Christianity, there's the thought, well, have I done enough to be saved? Am I doing enough to be saved? And if you're asking that question, you're not. If that's the concern, doing enough, you missed the boat, you missed it. You're barking up the wrong tree. The question is not, have I done enough to be saved? That means you're thinking that I can do certain things and be saved. No, it's grace. Remember grace? It's all of Him, all of the Lord. But it's more like, God, how can I serve You? How can I honor You? I have a memory. I don't know if y'all know, my freshman year, I went to Bellhaven. Oh, really nice. This is late 60s. And, you know, freshman dorm, guy across the hall comes up. Nice, good-looking kid. He shakes my hand and he says, "Hi, I'm Ben. I love Jesus." Wow. I didn't know what to think. Well, we were friends. End of the year, exam time. And he, you know exam time. Remember? I saw him in his room. He was lying on his bed. He was just like, Saul, I just can't get motivated. Just can't get motivated. Get up out of bed. Get up. Do it. Get into it. I think sometimes as Christians, we think, I'm just waiting for the Spirit. When the Spirit comes, He stirs you to action. You just don't wait to feel motivated. You get to work and the motivation comes. It comes. How many of us, honestly, how many of us have not felt like doing something that we should have done and needed to do, and when we got into it, we got fired up? You want to be stirred up spiritually? Get to work in serving. Serving Jesus. Digging into His Word. Diligent workman. Number four. And I'll hit this pretty quickly, but the diligent workman endures trouble. It doesn't always work out. You're working hard and sometimes you're frustrated at every turn. And Paul says, here I am serving Jesus Christ, and here I am in prison. Here I'm in prison, and not just in prison for anything, but as a criminal, I'm being treated as a criminal, as committing a capital offense. But the Word of God is not imprisoned. You see, sometimes in our lives we go through times when we can't do all the things we would want to do, that our hearts are flamed to want to serve Christ. The one that stands out to me probably the most is John Milton, the writer of Paradise Lost and Regained, and other writers, a strong Christian writer. And on his blindness, he became blind and he couldn't see. And he was, God, what do I do with my gift? I can't do what You called me to do. And then that one line in there, they also serve what? Who stand and wait. Sometimes, Christian, you endure. And that's part of it. That's part of it. Sometimes it's an illness. Sometimes it's a difficult time. But enduring opposition, persecution, and disappointment. You don't quit. You endure. You soldier on. And then from that ancient hymn, he says that it's probably part of it. If we died with Him, we shall live with Him. If we endure, we shall reign. If we deny Him, He will deny us. But then it says, if we are faithless, because who doesn't fail? Right? Who doesn't fail? If we are faithless, He is faithful. He won't let us go. He loves us more than we love Him. He loves us with a love that doesn't let go. Once He's gotten a hold of us, you say, well, I'm not measuring up. He won't let you go. And that's our confidence. So the diligent workman can take the downtime, the hard times, can endure. Why? Because He is faithful. And finally, the diligent workman is all about pleasing God. God, whatever you want. Now, if you like me, learned this as a child in the King James. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I liked that one because it's study. Yeah, I'm studying about it, you know? But really, it's much stronger than that. He's saying be diligent. Be diligent. Read the Proverbs. Be diligent, diligent, diligent in seeking God and serving God and saying, God, how can I please you? How do you please him? He says, rightly dividing, in the King James, rightly dividing, handling the word of truth. Listening to him, feeding on his word, relying upon him, serving him. Diligent. His approval he has already given us in Jesus Christ. We're his. He calls us to be diligent in our service. So, if you are longing, and that's a big if, I guess, if you are longing for a greater vitality in your walk with Christ, you know, we always assume it. Yeah, you want renewed? Yeah, I'd sure like a pick-me-up. No, but do you really want vitality? Do you really want a more vital walk with Christ? There's no secret about it. But it's going to involve work. If you really want it, it's a big question. Get up. I love a Brazilian chorus they used to sing in Portuguese. And if I could have translated, I would have and sung it. But it said, get up, get up, get up, go to work. Jesus is with you. And then they go over and over. Get up, get up, get up. Jesus is with you. Go to work. Get to work. Get to work. On the other hand, if you're content with just status quo, walk with Christ. Well, that's kind of like a status quo marriage. You know, it's not going anywhere. You happy with that? Well, no, the answer is no, of course not. Are you happy with the status quo, walk with Christ? Do you really want to be shaken up? Well, if you're happy with the status quo, I would say pretty much that the flame has gone pretty dim. If status quo is good enough, you need to kindle afresh the gift of God's grace. It's my prayer that even as we look forward, we don't have to wait, by the way. Hold any revival until 9/11. No, we need the refreshment of God's Spirit every day. But we're praying that God would not only stir us up to a brighter passion, greater love and vitality, but we're praying bigger. We're praying the whole world around us and beyond us. May God stir us up to be passionate, diligent workmen for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Fathers, we open your word. It's like you keep telling us, I love you, I love you, I love you, I've got you, I've got you. And we turn in on ourselves and we turn away. But you know that, you know better than we do that the deep longing of our hearts is to be close to you, to be pleasing to you, to bring glory, to bring joy to you, even as you bring joy and glory and grace to us. So we ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit, that you would stir up our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand for the benediction. And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.